The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. My name is James Robertson. I'm a researcher, publisher, and teacher regarding the matters and truths of the Almighty Creator, whose true name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing. I've been actively serving him since 1993, over 30 years. If you're not actively serving Yah, then by default, you are serving Satan. My objective is to show you how you can make a big difference on earth and qualify for a position of high esteem in heaven for eternity. It is important to understand that as a believer, just being good is not the point. It is relationship with Yah that counts. Without this, you will be in for a very you will be in a very unpleasant place in heaven with no way out. My aim is to show you how to get close to Father. If you're a good person without a clear relationship with Yah, then you're in a spiritual no man's land and will not even enter heaven when you die. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist? Yah is calling everybody on the planet to be involved and serve him and help him to have victory over Satan. My goal is to show you how to do this. Fundamentally, we each need to learn to see things on earth from Yah's perspective. My aim is to teach you how. Please visit my website at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's endtimeissueministries, one word, .org. Or email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org. The essence of today's broadcast, going to look at the essence of my message regarding turnaround emissaries or prophets, and then we'll talk about the essence of my message regarding the poverty of believers. Overview of the broadcast. It's not possible to really understand the history of this earth, and particularly the history of humankind on earth, without understanding the turnaround emissaries, apostles, and the turnarounds that they've initiated and facilitated. There have been a limited number of major turnarounds and a few lesser ones. This article will address only the major turnarounds. We will start by looking at Noah and the global flood. Then we will look at Abram recovering from the devastation of global nuclear war. We'll look at Moses recovering from bondage in Egypt or Mitzrayim. We'll then look at Yeshua, incorrectly Jesus, recovering from major apostasy. Then look at Muhammad recovering from the apostasy of the Jews and the Christians, and then Martin Luther recovering from the apostasy of the Roman Church. Finally, we will look at May 2003, recovering from the deep errors of all the religions of the apostate world. We will then look at the essence of my message regarding the poverty of believers. Finally, we will look at the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. So this is based on the article 2021-0703, the essence of my message regarding turnaround emissaries. It is not possible to really understand the history of this earth, and particularly the history of humankind on earth, without understanding the turnaround emissaries or apostles or prophets and the turnarounds that they have initiated and facilitated. There have been a limited number of major turnarounds and a few lesser ones. This article will address only the major turnarounds. So the first one I want to talk about is Noah, or Noah and the global flood. Noah was born about 900 years after the creation of Adam. The human race was becoming increasingly apostate to the point where Noah and his son Shem and their respective wives were the only humans alive who were still serving Father Yah at a material level. Noah was grieved by what was happening, and he turned to Father Yah for guidance. Noah understood that Yah could only act on earth through a set-apart, sanctified believer, and Noah was the only person in a position to do anything about the situation. Yah requested Noah to pray for a global flood that would drown all the unbelievers. Noah did so, and Yah instructed Noah on how to build a survival vessel out of wood with very robust construction, and Noah obeyed. One of the key things to understand about any emissary or spokesman prophet is nowhere are the private conversations between those people and the Creator recorded. So we know about the global flood. We can read about it in Genesis. But we don't know about the conversation that I've just spoken about, which Father revealed to me some years ago. And unless you understand that humans, only humans can change things on the earth because of the basis in which Yah put Adam on earth as to rule and have dominion on the earth, and you don't realize that he has to work through humans and Satan has to work through humans, you're not going to really understand what's happened. So Noah was grieved. He said, Father, bring a flood. And the earth was impacted by an ice comet, a huge chunk of ice knocked out of the Kuiper Belt, which is a whole collection of ice objects orbiting at the limits of the solar system. And that comet came to earth. It smashed into the earth, knocked the earth off its vertical axis, disintegrated, melted, and flooded the earth with ice-cold water. Noah and his three sons and their wives survived on the survival vessel, also known as the Ark, or Noah's Ark. The sons were Shem, a believer, the eldest son, Japheth, an idol worshipper, the middle son, and Ham, a worshipper of ancestor spirits or demons, and Satan. After surviving the flood, the Japhethites continued to worship idols and became the Far East Asian people, China, Japan, Korea, etc. The Hamites continued to worship the ancestors and became the African people. The Semites continued to worship Yah and continue to do so today at some level through Judaism, Christianity, and Islam that all come through the Semitic people. See the video, Proof of Global Flood, for discussion on the flood. There's a web page with that name, or you can search on YouTube for proof of global flood. Now, the key thing here is there's a whole lot of complexity that's out of scope for today's broadcast, but watch the video. It's an extensive analysis of what happened, how it happened, and so forth. Key thing to notice, Yah made a mistake allowing Japheth and Ham to survive on the ark. Noah pleaded for their deliverance, and they just brought a whole lot of bad thinking and wrong thinking and demons and what have you with them, which have contributed to the mess that the earth world is in today. Second major turnaround emissary, Abraham, recovering from the devastation of a global nuclear war. After the flood, the generations that followed on the Semitic side initially served Yah, but in time most of them fell away again. Noah and his sons and their wives brought with them comprehensive documentation on the technologies in use before the flood and a large collection of tools and materials. So they rapidly built up numerous advanced civilizations all over the world. Those advanced civilizations got to a point where they got into a nuclear war. There are a number of sites around the world where you can find highly radioactive remains of cities. There's very little record of this, but the fact of the matter is that Abram just appears on the scene, living in tents, come out of the area that he was born in, basically around Iraq, and with a relationship with Father. And Father says that he will become the father of many nations. And his wife is barren. He fathers a son through a servant, who then the wife chases away. His name is Ishmael. He becomes the father of the Ishmaelites, becomes the father of the Arab nations. And so the Arab nations also come from Abraham. They trace their origin from Abraham. Abraham is a significant person in the Quran, in Islam as well. So Abram starts a recovery, a revival, a turning around, turning people back to Father Yah, and his sons, and particularly his second son, Isaac, serves Yah. So in due course, there was a global nuclear war, and many of the advanced civilizations were destroyed. Abram and his immediate family and servants survived the war, and ended up living in tents in the wilderness. Abram was one of the few people on earth who still had a relationship with Father Yah. So Father Yah blessed Abram, and through Abram brought about another turnaround, which followed through his son Isaac, and then through Jacob, who was subsequently renamed Israel. So, folks, it's so important to understand. A lot of what I'm sharing with you at the moment is in the so-called Bible, the so-called Old Testament, the Jewish Bible, or the Protestant, Catholic, etc. Old Testament. It gives you a headline history of what I'm talking about. The key thing is to focus on an isolated individual who has a relationship with Father, who initiates what we would today call a revival, leads people back to Yah, back to Father, and makes a difference and stops the slide into satanic service and turns it around. Very few people have done that, and the people that I'm talking about are the most notable as far as that's concerned. The third major turnaround emissary, Moshe, Moses, recovering from bondage in Egypt, Mitzrayim. The descendants of Israel went into Egypt to escape a famine and were subsequently made to be slaves for 400 years. And in the process, mostly they backslid. You could argue, did they backslide or were they ever believers? It's debatable whether Israel's 12 sons were already true believers. Moshe spent many years in the wilderness and built a strong relationship with Father Yah. He was in the wilderness for 40 years. He subsequently returned to Egypt and led the Israelites and others associated with him out of Egypt and triggered another turning around, which led to the formation of the nation of Israel and all that followed there over a period of about 1,500 years, including a number of other turning arounds through the likes of Samuel, David, David, and so forth. So Israel had a bit of a bumpy ride. People serving Yah and then backsliding and serving Yah and backsliding and small turnarounds. But Moshe, Moses initiated a turning around that built on the turning around of Abram, and which continues to the day to today in the Jewish and Christian people. So a really important individual, not as important as Noah, basically was a new beginning. Moshe started with a somewhat more than a million people, some of whom at some level had relationships with Father and had been crying out to Father to deliver them from their bondage in Egypt. So not quite as dramatic, but significant nonetheless. Moshe initiated the temple, or in the way of the tabernacle in the wilderness. He initiated a priesthood. to turn the situation around and this endured at some level till the time of Yeshua, although towards the end, the descendants of Israel were largely apostate. Much of the above is recording in some detail in the historical accounts of the so-called Old Testament in the Bible. So we came from a place where certain people had close personal relationships with Father. I'm talking about Noah, Shem, Abram, a couple of Isaac, Jacob, Yaakov, some of his sons, Moshe. So again, up and down, up and down. And then quite a major upsurge in belief when the people came out of the wilderness into the land of Israel. And it's important to understand that what's going on in Israel and Gaza, etc. today is simply a continuation of what happened when the Israelites came out of Egypt. They came out of 40 years in the wilderness and they overran and defeated the people in the land that was then called Philistines and now called Palestinians. And there's a whole story around that I don't want to go into. It's very fraught at the moment in terms of what's going on in the world. But the fact is the battle over this land called Israel has been going on since the time of Moses, Moshe. We're talking about 3,500 years ago. Then Yahushua, Jesus, incorrectly Jesus, recovering from major apostasy, possibly the best known of all of these individuals. He came about 2,000 years ago with a specific mission and mandate to initiate a new covenant through dying on an execution stake. At this point, the temple was defective because of the Ark of the Covenant had been lost for over 560 years, and therefore the priests were illegitimate. They couldn't be properly consecrated. The people were therefore apostate. There was no forgiveness of sin because they were unable to perform the rites that had been prescribed by Moshe. And so the land of Israel was a mess and the whole world was a mess. And Yeshua came to resolve this. See the article on the website, The Miracle of Yeshua, Jesus' Death, and also the essence of my message regarding Yeshua, Jesus. They're both on the website. Yeshua initiated a major turning around, which at some level continues today, albeit has been seriously corrupted. And so Christianity, in its pure form, stems from Yeshua, but as I've explained in other broadcasts, the word Christian is a meaningless modern religious term. It refers to the anointing of the Spirit of Yah. It speaks of Yah, not of Yeshua, where you get the word Christ in the Bible on its own. It's either referring to the anointing of the Spirit of Yah or maybe the anointed one of Yah, being Yeshua. And there's a whole story about that. Then 600 years later, Muhammad, recovering from the apostasy of the Jews and the Christians. By the time of Muhammad, the majority of Christians had backslidden. They were worshipping the Bible. They were worshipping Jesus. They were observing the wrong Sabbath. It was a mess. So 600 years after Yeshua. So these things are degrading faster, quicker, is the thing to notice here. So within a relatively small time after Yeshua, the Christians descended into major error. And after about 600 years, Muhammad came to bring correction and a turning around that continues today, albeit also in serious error, in the religion we know as Islam. The Christians and Jews did not accept the correction. And so we have this tragedy of the Jews and the Christians and the Muslims, who all nominally and theoretically are serving and worshipping the same creator, Yah, the eternally self-existing, who, as we see in Israel, Palestine, Gaza at the moment, tearing each other's eyes out, destroying each other, killing thousands. And they're all brothers in the anointing of the Spirit of Yah, all brothers in Christ, but they don't understand it. They don't see it. They hate each other. And most of the wars of the last few hundred years, even more so, have been believers fighting with believers. The Second World War was believers fighting with believers. Hitler was a believer. He was killing believers because of wrong teaching and wrong belief about the Jews. And that continues today with a lot of Christians hating Jews. And then Martin Luther recovering from the apostasy of the Roman Church. So this is a revival, if you like, a turning around in Christianity. The turning around of Muhammad was primarily amongst the Middle Eastern peoples, and particularly the Arabs. It did not reach much of Christianity. In fact, the Christians fought against it violently, the Crusades. The apostasy of Christianity continued through the Roman Church, now the Roman Catholic Church, and to some extent, Martin Luther turned this around, although Luther retained considerable error with regard to the names, the Sabbath, marriage, and many other things. The so-called Protestant Christianity retains many of the errors of the Roman Church. So calling Father Lord and Jesus Christ and worshipping Yeshua and worshipping the Bible, etc. So those things never changed. So it was a lesser revival, but as I've said before, just degrading faster. Luther did, however, initiate some level of turning around that led to the renaissance of Western European civilization that has impacted most of the earth in the last few hundred years. Folks, the thing to understand is that the prosperity, the technology, advanced technology that the world as a whole has today stems first and foremost from Christianity, from people close to Father at some level with wisdom from Father, anointing from Father, guidance from Father. The world was a very deep, dark place before that that turning around. It's only the last few hundred years, one could argue even the last 100 years, that things have turned around. And there is so much technology in the world today that originates from descendants of Noah, through descendants of Abram, descendants of Israel. In May 2003, recovering from the deep errors of all the religions of the apostate world, in May 2003, at the time that Satan was sent to the pit for 1,000 years, Father Yah initiated a further turning around that seeks to restore the true names, the true Sabbaths, etc. This had started in some measure before May 2003 through various servants, but it reached a culmination when Satan was sentenced to the pit. See the article, Satan to the Pit 2003, on the website. It is hoped that this turning around will endure and be sustained till around May 3003, roughly 980 years from now, when Yeshua will hopefully return and the 7,000 years of humankind on earth and the contest with Satan will come to an end. You're requested to commit yourself to this turning around and to do whatever you're able to do to facilitate it and spread it around the world. Folks, the contest is a whole thing where Satan challenged Yah, and when Satan is about to be cast into the lake of fire and utterly destroyed, challenged Yah to a contest to prove that after 7,000 years on site, there would not be a single human being in right standing with Father. Satan's been winning that battle for the last 7,000 years, as we've heard, continuous degradation, to the point that there's less than 1 million people at some sort of vague level of relationship with Father today, and there's less than about 20,000 people at a significant level of relationship, and even they are in so much error with regard to God, the Lord, Jesus, etc. So that wraps up my discussion of the turnaround emissaries. I encourage you, if that's touched you, please get in touch with me. I would value your help and assistance to make that a reality. So I'm going to share another article with you, 2021-09-02, The Essence of My Message Regarding the Poverty of Believers. At the time of writing this in 2021, I'd been requested to write a piece about how believers in financial lack could get out of that situation. That is the aim of this broadcast. Following are the points to consider. As always, this article is only relevant to committed believers. Folks, if you're not seriously committed to serving Father, a lot of what I teach is irrelevant. You're serving Satan. He's going to keep you in bondage, etc., and error, and only you can do anything about it. So I want to start off by stressing that Father wants believers to prosper. If you're a truly committed believer and you're in lack, you know, this broadcast is for you. It's vital to understand that it is Father's will for you, to prosper and be in health. If you're not prospering, then there's something wrong, and it is within your power to rectify the situation. This article outlines the things that you need to take into account. So the next point I want to make is that Satan wants believers in poverty. As a committed believer, it is vital to understand that the satanic and demonic realm want you in poverty and therefore ineffective in the service of Yah, the Almighty Creator. So your battle against poverty is a battle against the satanic and demonic realm that is attacking you. And we'll talk more about that now. My third point is that poverty is a consequence of curses, sin, or error. In all cases, poverty is a consequence of curses, sin, or error, including error regarding sexual relationships. Say again, Father wants you to prosper. If you're not prospering, it's because Satan's got a hand on you. My next point, we will prosper through the sweat of our brows. It's also vital to understand that you will prosper through the sweat of your brow. See the Bible, Genesis 3:19. So you're going to have to work hard, except on the Sabbath, Saturday. I work extremely hard Monday to Friday, about 16 hours a day, in order to generate the income that allows me to keep the websites up, the mailing lists active, the radio and TV shows live, etc. You also have to work hard. If you're sitting home and praying for a breakthrough, then you need to think again and go out and get work. And in doing this, you need to realize that the vast majority of people who could give you work are unbelievers. So you need to pray for wisdom, understanding, and favor, and clean up your life so that there is no sin that the forces of darkness can use to obstruct financial provision. Just because you have a ministry that takes up much of your time does not mean that you do not have to go out and get a job or do something else to generate income. Folks, this is really important in this age. If you're a believer, a real, true, committed believer, that Satan doesn't have a stronghold on, you're going to have to work hard. You're going to have everything you need. You need to do your marketing. You need to do your selling. You need to get the jobs. You may well end up being self-employed because it's difficult to retain employment. And point number five, begging from those who are ministering is an offense in the sight of Yah. I fairly regularly receive begging emails from people who've come to my website. They seem to think that because I have a website, I should somehow provide for them as well. I need to stress that my ministry is to listen, publish, and teach, and not to use my hard-earned cash to provide for people whose life is not right with Father. So as a general rule, unless I'm deeply moved to help someone, I do not provide finance to these people. Fundamentally, they should be giving to me if they're learning from me. And then single believing men will battle to survive. As a general principle, only in extreme cases should a believing man be single. There are far fewer believing men than believing women, and therefore every believing man should be covering at least one believing woman. If a believing man is joined to an unbelieving woman, then the house is divided. One is serving Yah and the other is serving Satan. The man should either convert the unbelieving woman or divorce her. So we're designed to operate in family units, man and one or more women, all deeply committed to one another, all in deep harmony, all working together to serve Father. If you don't have that as a man, you're going to battle financially. So it's advisable if you're a single man, and I mean a truly single man, not a man who's got one flesh bonds with a whole bunch of women that he's ditched, a man who has no one flesh bonds, you're going to find it difficult, and I suggest that you find a wife, but you need to ask Father to guide you in doing that. Then single believing women can ask Father to be their husband. There are about 7 times more believing women than believing men in the body of true believers. A believing woman should not marry an unbelieving man, or she should not have sex with an unbelieving man. And if she is joined to such a man, she should either convert him or divorce him. It's vital for a single believing woman to understand that once she's dealt with all the issues in this broadcast, she can ask Father to be her husband, cover her, and provide for her. She will still have to be industrious and hardworking in some endeavor through which Father can provide the blessing. Folks, you may think I'm being harsh when I say that if someone's joined to an unbeliever, they need to separate. But it really is like that. 2,000 years ago, different story, turning around, lots of people coming to belief. Today, it's going in the other direction. It's difficult to get people to believe. It's difficult to get people to really commit. Then tithing to a ministry in error is futile. If you're tithing to a ministry that is teaching error, for example, still using the blasphemous names, the Lord, God, Jesus Christ, teaching that Jesus is God, the Bible is the Word of God, Jesus is the Word of God, then you're sowing for you, if you're really paying attention to what I'm saying, you're sowing in sterile ground and yoking yourself to the satanic and demonic realm. Stop giving to such a ministry and get out of that ministry or convert them to the truth. Folks, this world is full of error. The vast majority of people that most think of as being believers are not truly believers. Then tithe to those who truly teach truth. If you're truly receiving teaching that is true and valuable, then you should tithe or at least give to that ministry and Yah will reward you. Point number 10, a divided house will fall. A house divided against itself will fall. Refer to the Bible, Mark 3:25. And Luke 11:17, if the woman and the man are in strife or division, then the house will fall. The forces of darkness will attack your finances. If either man or woman is sexually joined to another outside of the family through legacy sexual one flesh bonds, then the house is divided and will fall. All extraneous one flesh bonds must be cut, and all other ties with people outside the family unit must be cut off. See the article, The Essence of Message, Separation of Man and Woman, on the website. If a man is one with a woman who's not living with him and he took her virginity, then there's a blood covenant and he should bring her under his covering and under his roof. He must at least make the offer, and if she refuses, then he must divorce her. If she accepts, then other women in his life must accept her. There's a huge discussion. There's a book, ebook of about 360 pages on the website, The Biblical Definition of Marriage, Divorce, Adultery, which goes into great detail about the blood covenant between a man and a woman, that sex with a virgin is the act of marriage, that marriage itself as a legal construct is irrelevant in the sight of Yah, but it is binding if you get into it. If the woman a man calls wife was not a virgin when he first took her, then she is not his wife. She's a harlot, and she should return to the man who took her virginity, or at least request that he take her back. If he refuses, she can get a divorce from him and marry the man she presently calls husband. All these ties must be cleaned up and cut off before prosperity will come. As a general rule, if all the other issues in this article are dealt with, and a man and woman are in poverty, it is either because the man treats his wife badly or she treats her husband badly. Man and woman are commanded to treat each other well and with love. If a man comes from a social context where men treat women badly, then you need to get rid of the strong thinking and treat your wife gently and with tenderness. Then a united house will prosper, the opposite side of a house divided against itself. If the man and woman or women are in perfect unity, then the house will prosper. The more women there are in harmony, the greater the prosperity. However, in this age, it is almost impossible for more than one woman to be in harmony with one man. So as a general rule, one should limit oneself to a monogamous situation. Fundamentally, a fully united house with all the other issues dealt with will prosper. So, it's really important to understand that a marriage, a union, a partnership, a covenant relationship between a man and woman who are in strife and arguing and fighting and shouting and squaring and hitting and what have you, if you're believers, you should not be surprised if you're in poverty. The way to get out of poverty is to come into harmony. Then cut off all extraneous sexual bonds. As touched on above, it is vital to cut off all extraneous sexual bonds. So if a man or woman has had multiple sexual partners previously, they will have significant spiritual work to clean up before they can prosper. See the article cited above for the relevant prayers and also the article on drawing close presented later. Cut off all curses. If there are curses, either modern curses or legacy bloodline curses operating, these can cripple a person or family financially. All curses must be cut off. See the subsequent section for the relevant prayers. If there's someone constantly cursing you, then you need to ask Father to return the curses in the magnitude he deems appropriate so that they cease. See the prayers on the prayer page. It's also the essence of my message concerning prayer. Folks, so important. Curses can have a huge impact. And certainly if you live in a society where there are other people who have witch doctors and things like that, those curses are real, folks. If they hire a witch doctor to curse you, you're going to be cursed. You need to cut off those curses. You need to be free of sin. You need to do whatever you need to do for those curses to have no effect and for those curses to be cut off and dealt with. Mm-hmm. And if there's somebody who's cursing you continuously, then you need to say, Father, in the name of Yeshua, if there's somebody cursing me on a regular basis and you deem it appropriate, I ask you to return the curses in the magnitude that you deem appropriate. Don't you name a magnitude. And don't you get too specific, but Father will exercise his discretion in your favor if you're in right standing, but you've got to deal with sin in your life first. Then a particular note regarding curses on African people. If you're descended from African people or African yourself, whether you're living in Africa or elsewhere, you're subject to a particularly virulent range of curses and maybe also subject to modern curses by witch doctors. In particular, most African people are subject to the curse of Canaan. See the Bible, Genesis 9:25. And Noah said, "Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren." This curse may be effective in certain other cases as well, but is primarily of effect in people of African descent. Note that it is straightforward to cut off curses. See below. You must be living above sin, see the article, What is Required to Live Above Sin, on the website. In the process for clearing up, document seven components of drawing close to your at seven components of drawing close on the website contains a substantial section on cleansing that should be read and applied in order to deal with the curses, etc., referred to above. If all the rituals and processes outlined in that document, all the prayers given, all the fasting applied, all the worship implemented, you will come to a place where you are in right standing with your mighty Creator and He's able to prosper you. Then walk in emunah, faith. In all the above, it is vital to walk in emunah, faith. See the article on the website, Essence of Messagery, emunah, faith. You need to have a settled assurance Yah wants you to prosper. In conclusion, the journey of a believer to prosperity with Yah is a journey. It's the same journey of growing close to Yah that we should all be undertaking anyway. So in wrapping up, I want to ask you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Almighty Creator. Do you talk to Him constantly throughout the day and allow Him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of Him at all times? Do you worship Him at every opportunity? Do you count Him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard Him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose and you will be bitterly disappointed when you die. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. That's endtimeissueministries.org. Please email me to join the mailing list, also at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know and I can connect with you by Skype, Zoom, Teams, email or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when I will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory, the end of the millennium, and make His enemies His footstool. So I'm going to say good night in a moment. If you are new to the program, after this I'll go through a bit of background, some references that you might want to follow up on. If you've been listening to these broadcasts for a while, you might want to sign off when I say goodnight in a short while. So I just want to close by saying, Father wants a deep personal relationship with you. He's not worried about your height, your short or tall, thin or fat, rich or poor, educated, uneducated, Christian, Muslim, Islam, Buddhist, whatever, witchcraft or whatever. He wants you to become His friend. And I encourage you to go for it. There's much on the website to help you. Please contact me. Then in closing, for those of you who stayed behind, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering and I'm a retired military commander. I now work as a management consultant. I have over 30 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty following a dramatic encounter with Him on the 12th of March in 1993 when He spoke to me audibly in a locked room and I knew for certain that He was real. In learning about Father, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayer answered, and clear communication with the Creator that forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. See the video Why Seek Relationship for an overview of what I believe. Please visit my website at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's endtimeissueministries.org. The ETI version of the Bible, the End Time Issue Ministries version of the Bible with correction of key translation errors, is on the ETI Bible version page on the website. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far, search on Google for Relationship with Creator Radio, in quotes. There are at least four podcast websites with the back issues. Some of them are also on the website. Books with teachings from 1998 until May 2019 are at the compilation of most writings pages, PDFs formatted for printing. I publish regular email articles. Email james@endtimeissueministries.org to join and be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search article keyword cloud, table of contents, and article search to locate the information you're looking for. Good night.
Father, I come to you, lifting up my hands. By your grace I stand, just because you love me. I know your favor.
Hi. I'm James Robertson. I want to speak to you about turnaround emissaries, prophets, men who've radically changed the spiritual dispensation on earth. Noah, Abram, Moshe, or Moses, Yeshua, or Jesus, Muhammad, and Martin Luther. A turnaround emissary is one who is close to the Creator, sees how bad things are on the earth, and who intercedes and takes concrete action to turn things around. Are you willing to help me to turn the situation around on earth today? Please listen to my broadcast on W4CY Radio or visit my website at www.endtimeissueministries.org or email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org to find out. I look forward to hearing from you. Good day.